Let's open our Bibles, if you would, please. We're in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to talk about a law that's in the Bible. And it's a good law if you're on the right side of it. It's a bad law if you're on the other side of it. And so we're going to look in Galatians chapter 5. And give me about 2 or 3 minutes to teach a little bit. And then we'll explain how this all relates to you. We got some sweet kids in church tonight, don't we? Tell you what, they're so mature and listening and sitting up straight and looking at the pastor, and that's a blessing. So, boy, tell you what, that excuses song really bashes the pastor, doesn't it? He's proud, he's loud, he's mean, he's didn't shake their hand. And wow, we need to rewrite that. So Galatians chapter number 5, the theme of this book here is the gospel truth. And so the Apostle Paul, who used to be a non-believer, of course, he saw the light. God spoke to his name. And on the road to Damascus at noontime, he got saved. And that was a powerful testimony by Brother Anthony tonight. Notice he knew where he was, when it was. Didn't stutter a bit. When you're saved, you know it. And thank God for that. So Paul started this church in a city called Galatia. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In some of Paul's absence, some false teachers had come into this church, and they had taught those new Christians that works was a part of being saved and getting to heaven. It was not enough to accept Christ as your Savior. They told them what Jesus did on the cross was not enough. You had to also keep the Ten Commandments. You had to also do these rituals from the Old Testament. You had to do and do and do. And that's what makes a works religion so difficult. You never attain. You never know for sure if you're good enough to go to heaven. But the Bible says it's not by works. It's all by grace. It's a free gift. And you can know that you've taken that gift. So we see here in Galatians chapter 5, if you have it, let's notice, please, in verse number 17. And it says, for the flesh, 5:17, lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. And then in verse number 19, now the works of the flesh, what's this talking about? The flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, sexual sins, uncleanness, that's dirty mouth, dirty talk, dirty videos, lasciviousness, anything short of immorality, idolatry, witchcraft or rebellion, hatred, variance. That means you're a disagreeable person, never can agree with people. Emulations, that's can't be reasoned with. Wrath, that's anger issues. Strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Now, no one wants to be married to a person like that. No one wants to have a best friend who's selfish, who it's all about them. Now, you say, Pastor, where's this come in? So here's what happens. When we get saved, that flesh is already there. Paul called it the old man. It's a nature inside of us that is bent on doing wrong. It's selfish. It can be mean. It's all about me. That's what the flesh would say. But here's the good news. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, your spirit became alive. And all of a sudden now there's two people living inside of you. No, you don't have a split personality. No, you're not possessed. But now there are two people inside. It's the flesh that says, it's my way. And now the spirit says, no, 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 no. It's God's way. And all of a sudden the flesh says, I'm sleeping in on Sunday. And the spirit says, no, we go to church on Sunday. And there's this battle. You've seen the little cartoons where they have the demon on one shoulder and the angel on the other. It's kind of like that, except inside. So now Paul says, now look, church, he says, here's what the flesh wants, all these evil things. Then he contrasts it, look here, and he says in verse number 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Who doesn't want to be with someone who loves you more than they love themselves? Someone that's joyful, someone who's at peace, long-suffering, that means patient with people, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. So we have a whole list of things the flesh does, has a whole list of things the Spirit does. And I guarantee you, the happier people are those who follow the Spirit and don't follow the flesh. When the flesh takes over, your marriage is history. Your friendships are history. You're going to be in all kind of trouble and misery. When the Spirit takes over, there's all kind of blessing. Now, with that in mind, look down in chapter 6. And here's what we're going to talk about for a few moments. Chapter 6, and looking down into verse number 7. Chapter 6 and verse number 7. And here's what he says. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. So he says, so here's something we can be deceived about. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now here's where it comes in. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here's the last verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So what has he given us here? Just quickly, what has he given us? He's given us a law. Some of the Bible is promises. Some of the Bible is sermons. Some are stories or parables. And then some are just laws. For instance, we have the law of gravity. You jump off your roof, you're probably going to land on the ground. It's a law. It doesn't matter how much God loves you. You jump off your house, you're coming down. There's the law of inertia. If your car is doing 100 miles an hour and you've just got 10 feet, you need to stop, you're probably not going to make it, because that force is going to carry you more than 10 feet if you try to stop. So here's this law. What is this law it's talking about? It's talking about the law of sowing and reaping. In modern slang, people would say, what goes around comes around. We reap what we sow. Now, why did Jesus talk this way, or why is this in the Bible? Because much of the Bible people, they would have had gardens. They would have had farms. No matter what they did, if they were a potter or a carpenter, they would have still raised crops. They would have raised grapes. They would have raised olives, that they got their oil for their light, for their food and cooking, oil for their skin. And so they raised crops. They were familiar with this thing of sowing and reaping. So here in the story, he says, whatsoever a man, here we go, here's the seeds, sows, that shall he also reap. So he says there are two fields. We can sow to the flesh, or we can sow to the Spirit. And every word we say, every action we do, every thought we think is sowing seeds that will one day come up. So this is a bad law if you're sowing in the wrong field, but it's a real good law if you're sowing in the right field. Several thoughts about this. Number one, we will reap what we sow. That's what he says. You sow pinto beans, you're going to grow pinto plants. You sow apple seeds, you're going to sow apple trees. It's exact. Whatever you sow, the Bible says it's a law, that's what you will reap. So you sow kind words, you're going to reap kind words. You sow kind actions, you're going to reap kind actions. You sow mean words, you will reap mean actions. If you're a nice person and let people up in traffic, you will reap that exact thing. You will have some nice person let you up in traffic. No one from our church, but probably some nice person will let you up in traffic. We reap what we sow. You sow money, you're a giver to people, you will reap money. And we're not talking about you sow a dollar and you're a millionaire overnight. That's not what we're saying. But whatever you sow, whether it's words, actions, finances, you will reap. Number two, We always reap more than what we sow. You sow one grain of corn and a corn plant comes up. There are several stalks and hundreds, maybe thousands of kernels. You sowed one, but a whole lot came up. We sowed a seed, an avocado plant. It came up and no avocados. But anyway, it's supposed to be that way. But we reap more than what we sow. Number three, and we're hurrying. We're not sure when the crop will come up. But it's a law. It's going to come up. It always does. I'll give illustrations in just a moment. Number four. Okay, for instance, we were on a men's fishing trip. And we were in Cabo. And the men I was with, not going to name them, they got bored with fishing. Is this all we're going to do, Pastor? I said, it's a fishing trip. This is why we came here. We want to go into the town. We want to eat some Mexican food. I said, we came fishing. So they rented a car, and we drove into the downtown. We're outside of the car. We're walking down the sidewalk. A car pulls up, hits the brakes. They roll down the window, and a man punches one of our men right in the stomach. They didn't punch me. They punched this man. And then they sped off. It was a drive-by punching. I never heard of that. Heard of a drive-by shooting, drive-by stabbing, a drive-by punching. And he looks, and that man started running angry. I've got to, he said some Bible words, and I've got to drag you out of that car. And so he's running. I said, stop. I said, it's a carload of them. It's one of you. What are you going to do if you catch a car? He said, you're right. I'm so upset. And then I said, you're just reaping. I said, he didn't punch me. He didn't punch this other guy. He didn't punch this other guy. Why'd they punch you? I said, you ever punch anybody? You ever just come up and punch somebody? He said, yeah. I said, I was so glad I was here to see you reap. This is great. This is Bible. I said, Pastor, I'm never going anywhere with you, foreign country. So here's the deception. He says, be not deceived. Why would we be deceived over this? Well, there's several deceptions. Well, here's the deception. We think we won't reap. We can be deceived in both fields. We do bad things. We do wicked things. Oh, that's never going to come up. You're deceived. It's coming up. You don't know what year. It's coming up. Then sometimes we get deceived. We do right. We come to church. We try to live for the Lord. We do the right thing. We try to raise our kids right. And we're sowing in the right field. And it doesn't come up fast enough. So we're deceived. Well, I guess it doesn't pay to serve the Lord. The crop didn't come up. Dot, dot, dot. Here's the other word. Yet. Yet. We get deceived. We smoke a cigarette. We read on the package. May cause cancer. Many studies say nicotine. It may cause cancer. So we light up. I don't have cancer. I smoked a whole cigarette. I'm the exception. Be not deceived. The crop's coming up. You smoke long enough, the crop comes up. I'm going to pop a cold one. I won't get cirrhosis of the liver. Look, a whole beer. I'm not drunk. I didn't run over anyone. I still have my license. Everything's okay. I still have my job for now. You take away liquor off the store shelves would cut crime and traffic accidents down way low. Amen. I can look at porn. It's not going to bother me. I can look at it on the phone, on the internet. My parents will never know. My wife will never know. And I can sow all these seeds that I want to. Hey, it's never going to come up. Look, nothing wrong. Look, I'm an adult and I got all these rights and everything's okay. And guess what? The crop comes up. Later on, there's an affair because you can't control yourself. Later on, the mate cannot fulfill your appetites. Why? You've sown some seeds, and they're going to come up. Be not deceived. Our nation right now is reaping. We ought to just put the flag at half mast. Not trying to be political. That's Bible. We ought to just put it at half mast. It's not going to stop. the next shooting. Hey, just look in the paper every day. And now there's one going on right now. And there's one at this Target. And there's one in Virginia. And there's one over here. We've sown and sown and sown and sown and sown. Hey, those video games where we're killing millions of people every week, that's not going to bother us. That's not going to make someone think violent thoughts. Oh, no. And the 250 million porn sites, that's not going to affect our youth. That's not going to affect kidnappings. We've sown and sown and sown and sown, and the crops are coming up. We've told the young people there is no God, there's no afterlife, and we wonder why they're ending their lives. We told them there's no hope. We wonder why they're depressed and strung out on drugs. We've sown some seeds. Give you some examples quickly. We'll be out, I think, hopefully on time. So David has an affair with a neighbor. Just one woman. No one will ever know, no. But when Absalom, his son, takes over the kingdom, he's immoral, very immoral. And then David has a son that takes advantage of his half-sister, all the reaping. Here's Abraham, he lies. He has a son, he lies. He has a son, he lies. He has 12 sons, all but one lies. We reap what we sow. There was a king called Adonibezek. He was a mutilator. When he captured kings, he cut their thumbs and their big toes off. Why? So they couldn't hold a sword, and so they couldn't run. They were not effective in battle anymore. When Adonibezek got captured, guess what they did to him? They cut his thumbs off and his big toes off. He reaped what he sowed. They didn't put his eyes out. Thumbs, toes. Same thing he did. You're not impressed. I can tell. I don't even like this guy, Donald Beza. Here's the Apostle Paul. You remember? He tortured Christians. He had them jailed. He had them blaspheme and deny Jesus. And then Paul gets saved. And God said in Acts chapter 9 to Ananias, he said, Lord, I'll baptize Paul, but I've heard about all the evil he's done to your people. And God says, just wait and see what all Paul's going to go through. So Paul is stoned. He is jailed. He's beaten with rods. He's in a shipwreck, a day in the ocean. What was he doing? Reaping. Paul was reaping. He had sown a lot of seed. But Paul became a Christian. It didn't stop the crop from coming. You know, I found out working here in California with people, when you get saved and you accept the Lord, all the tattoos you have that you wish you didn't have, they're still on you. That's strange, isn't it? Someone told me, they said, Pastor, can I come to the church? I have tattoos. I said, it's a requirement. I see them all in that water. When they get baptized, I see their shoulder, see it on the back of their neck, see it on their toes, see it on their feet. One guy that got baptized had skeleton tattoos. When he stepped in the water, it looked like he was just bones. His legs and feet were tattoos, bones. I said, brother. One of them had a toe tag tattooed to his foot. It said, DOA, dead on arrival. I said, he was dead on arrival at church, but he left alive in Christ. So, but he still had the tattoo. When you get saved, you accept Christ, if you're in debt, you're still in debt. If you get saved and you have children out of wedlock, you still have children out of wedlock. Being saved does not change what's already taken place. My dad lived a very wicked life, a lot of things he wouldn't talk about. He did say a fifth of whiskey every day. I don't know if that's a lot. Is it, Velma? Is that a lot? Wake up. Why'd you ask Velma? She must, yeah. Dad carried a pistol. Dad's friends were very evil people. Dad lived. He accepted the Lord. But guess what? Every time we'd go in a restaurant, he'd say, son, I always sit with my back to the wall. I want to see everyone who comes in. You know, that's a hard way to live. Always looking over your shoulder. How come? He had sown a lot of seed. The crop was going to come up. So I'm getting ready to go to his funeral. And my brother said, I'm putting it in the paper. I said, what are you putting in the paper? That we have a half-sister. I said, we have a what? We have a half-sister. I never asked my dad if he murdered in cold blood. I never asked him if he cheated on mom. Now I know at least one of those. I do have a half-sister. Guess what happened? Just because he accepted the Lord didn't mean that girl wasn't conceived. The crop still comes up. It still comes up. I think of Jacob, and I must hasten. Jacob's whole life means supplanter or deceiver. He's the one that was, we'd call him an opportunist. He was starving. He said, man, I'm heading to my tent, but I'm going to die before I get there. And his brother said, I'm making chili right now. In fact, he patented it. It's way back in the Bible days. They call it Wendy's chili to this day. Anyway, he was stirring that. He said, brother, you hungry? He said, I'm hungry. He said, sell me your birthright, and I'll give you one bowl. That's a pretty expensive bowl. He sold him his birthright. He cheated his brother. His daddy's going blind. His dad says, I want to bless my oldest son. Jacob lies to his dad, who's blind. He gets the blessing. He beat his brother out of his birthright. He lied to his dad. Now his mother said, your brother's going to kill you. You need to scram. He leaves town. He falls in love with a girl. And wouldn't you know it, on the honeymoon, you know, they wore those veils. The next morning, he wakes up. It's her sister. Her name was Leah. She had affectionate eyes. They looked at each other. Her eyes were so cross when she cried, the tears flowed down her back. Doctor diagnosed her and said, bacteria. Oh, it's sad. Oh, it's sad. Hey, it's Sunday night. I've been eating these magic beans. That's why. And there's a goose up there somewhere. Anyway, so what was going on? He sowed some seeds. He deceived daddy, his brother. He lied. He took advantage of people. And now it's coming up. He gets the wrong mate. Had to work 14 years to get the one he wanted total. Then his employer changed his wages 10 times. Took advantage of him. Jacob gets right. His name is changed to Israel. But he had a lot of reaping. Here's a boy named Joseph. You remember? His brothers conspired and sold him as a slave. And lied and said a wild animal killed him. He's reaping. Even when he was getting ready to die, the boys kept lying and said, Dad told you not to hurt us once he died. The seed was coming up. Pastor, what are you getting at here? I have to hurry. I met a man before I moved here. And for some reason, I had to sign some papers because someone gave me a bus to move here. I didn't know the man. He was one of those, what do you call the guy when you stamp something? Notary. He was a notary. I signed my name. He said, Ray, are you Tom Ray's boy? Dad testified in 20 trials and put 30 mobsters in prison. He said, I see Tom's eyes in you. And I'm wondering, is this good or bad? He looked at me and he said, tell Tom you met. And he gave me his name. And tell him I'm still smiling. I'm getting out of here. Dad was still reaping. I said, Dad, guess who I met? He goes, he's still alive. He's still reaping. The crop comes up. We must hasten. When I was a teenager, and I don't want any of the teenagers listening now, so y'all tune out. You know, just act like your parents are talking to you. Tune out. Don't listen. I was not evil, I was mischievous. That's the Baptist definition. Was not wicked, I was just bored. We would go to teen camp and we would actually have meetings at my house planning for the counselors to have a good time at camp. Brother Juan, are you listening? So we packed all kind of necessities. First night we're at camp, cement floors, 54 teens there, bunk beds. Brother Smith, all right, lights out. We're tired. Go to bed. That's when I passed out all the ping pong balls. One at a time. Bing, 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 bing. Stop it. Next guy. Bing, 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 bing. Next guy. Bing, 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 bing. One of my friends made a recording. He went inside of a metal storage shed, took a little tape recorder, screamed at the top of his lungs, beating on the walls. Bah, 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 yeah! Just scream. 30 minutes of screaming and beating on that metal storage shed. He recorded it. Second night at camp, they ran a speaker wire up on the hill with the speaker. Everyone sound asleep. Hit that button. Wah! The screams started echoing all over that canyon around the camp at Pot of Gold. The pastor got up. Someone's fallen down the hill. Search party. They literally sent search parties up the hill to find the fallen person. And there was that speaker wire and that speaker. We had a Vietnam veteran named Greg McGee. He's still alive. If you want to Google him, some of you Google, is this guy really legit? He really is. And he was telling us how he won the war single-handedly. I was on this ship. I was a Navy SEAL, and I was an Army Ranger in the Navies. And I was scuba diving, and I have hand grenades, and M16, fighter pilot. Probably he peeled potatoes in the kitchen or something. I don't know what he did. And I'm not saying we should have done it. I'm just telling you the story. So that night, somehow, 12 mouse traps ended up around Billy Giles's bunk. They were all set. Most of our counselors slept barefooted for some reason. Billy Giles all of a sudden started wondering, I don't think I'm a Christian. It's pitch black. He starts faking or feigning like he's crying. Brother McGee says, Billy, what's wrong? He said, not Brother McGee. Different counselor. But anyway, it's Brother Foray. He comes to Billy's bunk, and we're just praying, oh, Lord, if you ever heard our prayers, help him hit the mouse traps. His guardian angels were working overtime. He got all the way to Billy's bunk, missed everyone. Billy, do you want to get saved? No, I think I'm saved, Brother Fifi. I just remember that, Brother Foray. He missed everyone all the way back to his bunk. About that time, Billy comes under great conviction. He starts weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. And about that time, Brother Foray says, I'm coming to your bunk and you're going to accept the Lord. And as he went to the bunk, you heard snap, 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 snap. He was so angry. When we turned on the lights, he wouldn't even remove them from his toes. Those mouse traps had popped all over his toes. He was so upset. And then as he looked at the mousetraps, I'd been double-crossed. It said, property of Mike Ray. Someone had written on every mousetrap. The next night, it was an exciting camp. We had gathered daddy long-legged spiders all day long. They were on the screens there in West Texas. You could hit the screens. They'd fall in bunches. We filled up a big black garbage bag full of spiders. There's the, what do you call this beam here? Brother Steve, what do you call it? What is it? It's not a banister. What is it? Glue lamb. I know, but no, rafter. So it's pitch black. The moon is out. You can see Brother McGee's stomach going up and going down. It's a beautiful sight. Timmy starts scooting across the rafter toward Brother McGee. He's got the black garbage bag. We've got cameras ready. We're sleeping with cameras. We don't want to miss this. This is a moment. This is a memory. That garbage bag opened up and it rained. Daddy long legs spiders. Bullseye right on Brother McGee's face. Thousands of little spider legs. We had never heard a grown man scream until that night. I don't know if he has stopped yet. And that was over 40 years ago. Brother McGee got up, rolled over on his bunk. There were dead. Many had given their life for the cause. Many of those spiders were dead. Some only had two legs left. Some had three legs left. They were wounded. Brother McGee stood up. He couldn't even speak. He was shaking so bad. We said, "Welcome to camp, Brother McGee. We love counselors." You ready? I was sowing. And I wasn't sowing to the Spirit. I'm sure I'm glad there's no reaping, aren't you? So I go on staff at my home church after Bible college. Our house is toilet papered six times in a month. I'm hearing that little thump, dump, thump, trees. I open the door, it's 3 a.m, and here's a teenager, toilet paper in our house. I don't even know who they are. I mean, they're importing them from other cities. I was just reaping. I start to get in my car one morning. There's a dead chicken pushed all the way down the radio antenna, all the way to the body of the car. And I'm looking and I'm saying, I try to have a good attitude. I'm just reaping. I deserve this. I'm reaping. I start to get in the car. It's got Vaseline all over the handle. I said, I am reaping. The crop's coming up. I start to crank the car. Instead of it going room, it went squish. And I looked at the accelerator. The dead chicken's brother was under the pedal. And I dissected him all over the car. And I said, I deserve this. I'm just reaping. You say, well, Pastor, what's this got to do with us? I want to give you two thoughts on this. Number one, you're going to have to be patient in waiting. You're going to have to be patient in waiting. See, some of you have sown some great seeds. You're trying to raise good kids. You're reading the Bible. You finished discipleship. You're coming to church. I mean, you're sowing. You're going to have to be patient. Going to have to be patient. You pastor a church a long time, the crop starts coming up. People have asked me, well, if you ever, I said, here's what would happen. If I ever died, some young guy's going to come in here and everyone and their brother's going to show up on one Sunday, we're going to have 10,000. And I always say, I want to be there when the crop comes up. We've sown too much seed. We've run buses 35 years in Fairfield, Vallejo. We've sent them to Rodeo. We've put them just about everywhere. We have knocked on doors. We passed out tens of hundreds of thousands of tracts. We've sown a lot of seed around here, and the crops are coming up. Amen. Young lady came to church today. I said, I don't even know you. She said, I've been here before when I was about 7. Now she's a mom. You know what's going on? The crop's coming up. The crop's coming up. Be patient. It's God's promise. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You've been living right. Be patient. Wait on the harvest. It's going to come. And then last, perseverance in the reaping. Now here's where the hard part is. You ready? So let's say you've sown some seed. Well, let's confess. Who has sown at least one seed you know did not please the Lord? Would you slip that hand up? All of us have. And if you got saved later in life, you sowed a lot of seeds. Now get your eyes off this crop over here. Well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Look at the mess I made here. And I wish I wouldn't have done that. And I shouldn't have dated that person. I shouldn't have married that person. I shouldn't have gone here. I shouldn't have taken this job. I shouldn't have made that. Yeah, you can do that all you want. Or you can just say, you know what I'm doing? I am getting as busy as I can, and I'm putting every seed I can over here as fast as I can, because I know that's coming up, and I'm just going to face this. I don't even want to see that. That's what you want to do. Now, let me encourage you. Pastor, we've been in church 3 months. We started tithing, and they repossessed my car. We've been in church 3 weeks, and now my wife's leaving me. But that has nothing to do with this. It has a lot to do with that. Don't be discouraged and think God's mad at you. He's pleased with what you're doing now, but the crop has to come up. It comes up in our kids. My kids will look at their grandkids who do crazy things and say, we're reaping their grandfather. I was on the roof of our house when I was age 3. My grandmother was babysitting me, and I would not get off the roof of the house. I stayed up there all day long. Now, how bad a parent does that make her look? The kid's on the roof 8 hours. Am I surprised our twin sons did not escape our backyard when they were 2? What kind of parents are we? One said, look, garbage can. I can climb up on the garbage can. I can lift you on the garbage can. We can shimmy over the fence. They were 3 blocks down the street. We asked a neighbor, have you seen the twin boys? Yeah, they went that away. Why didn't you stop them? I'm not surprised. I'm reaping. You say, Pastor, can we pray for crop failure? Nope. It's going to happen. What's that mean? The sooner you get sowing seed in the right field, the better. And young people, I'll say this, as exciting as the wrong field looks, guess what you get? Adultery, fornication, anger issues, selfishness, addictions. That's what comes with it. The joy and the great life is over here. Sow to the right field. You'll be glad that you did. A lot of Bible examples. And God's promise, be not weary in well-doing. He says, don't quit. Don't be discouraged. In due season, you're going to reap. And some of you are reaping in a good way right now. Some of you are reaping financially. Some of you are reaping because all the time you sowed trying to raise good kids, they're making you proud. Keep it up. Keep it up.